Hey everybody, welcome to episode 63 on An American Tale from 1986. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Dom DeLuise and if he really brings a lot to the table or is too big of a distraction.
That guy stole the show, man. You know damn well he stole the
Spoiler
show.
Spoiler alert! We're also going to be talking about the dad, who seemed pretty hardy for a man allegedly starving.
That is true. He was a chunky mouse.
And we're going to be talking about if the nostalgia, the love of this film from childhood, if it translates to adulthood and how it influenced us watching it today.
Ooh, we will see.
We will see. I am Noah Kinsey.
My name is Jonesy.
And this is the UFR Podcast.
Roll it!
So first things first, thumbs up, thumbs down, what you think?
I mean, I think I got like a little middle thumb going, like, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know for me.
The less loved thumb, the middle thumb.
I don't know. It could be, you know, it teeters on less loved, not loved, depending, I think. But that's me. But I loved it when it was two thumbs up.
As a child.
But watching it as an adult is, I don't know.
We'll dig into why that thumb has some erectile dysfunction.
Oh.
I'd say thumbs up.
Still, huh?
I'd say thumbs up. I had two thumbs up as a child.
Sure.
But I lost,
if I had more thumbs,
I lost one thumb in the war.
Yeah.
Since so let's dig into it. So
for me, I think what it came down to was it was fun to watch again, but I think it was more nostalgia.
Okay.
And I think as a kid, you don't understand a lot of the history that's going on.
Sure.
But as an adult, I'm watching the history and kind of figuring it all out.
You understand the subtext.
Exactly. And I'm just like, this is a fucking dark ass
It's a
cartoon.
Super dark movie.
It's very sad, in all honesty. Yeah. You know? And to which end, there's points that I really liked and there's points that I didn't like. I think the overall theme of hopefulness is something that I care about, but some of the ways they portrayed some of those things throughout the movie, I don't know, I just didn't, it didn't hit me the same way. Because, I understand it now more as an adult than anything else, you know? So that's, to me, the reason why I was just like, I could still like it, but there's parts that I'm just like, I don't know. So that's why it kind of wobbles in the middle for me.
I guess that makes sense.
You know?
Yeah, I miss these types of cartoons where, as a child, you know, there's enough in it to keep you engaged and keep you in the story. But there's stuff in it for adults, and there's this, like, subtext, like we talked about this.
Right.
Or the history, or what it's referring to, like what this is a metaphor for, that parents can appreciate watching this. A lot of cartoons now, if they're not Disney animated, like computer animated or Pixar or DreamWorks, a lot of them are just little kid stuff where the parents are like, this is what's going to kill me.
It's all Barney.
You know, it's terrible.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's too kiddie friendly for
right.
most of it. And there's not really something in it for everybody. So I miss that element of it. And I do miss kind of that old school animation a little
bit. Which I agree. I mean,
which
that's
is very
cool.
Adult animated.
Yeah.
That's a weird way to put it, but just kind of darker.
You
wouldn't see cats smoke cigars nowadays anymore. But they did back then. Not cats, but people did. Well, I don't know.
No,
I don't.
They might have. They're all catnipped out and shit.
Yeah, or like the scuzzy rat or whatever that would like, that was, wasn't it a rat that was like counting the money or something?
No, it's like a grasshopper or
well, there was
a
like,
flea
the cockroach
or something, like the
that
cockroach
that was part of it,
yeah.
Or whatever it was that would be.
Uh-huh.
But whatever, whoever he would report to.
Yeah, he was a cat.
Or that was a cat, but it was undercover
as a rat.
He's disguised as a mouse.
Yeah, I'm like, how small are you as a cat that can get away with being a mouse?
Yeah.
I don't get it, because those mice are going to be like, that's one big-ass fucking
he's
cat.
Pretty
that's one big-ass rat.
He's pretty resourceful with, like, the fake cat ears.
That is true.
So he's good at stitching. I'll give him that. He's a good seamstress. I think he missed his ethical calling, because he definitely used his seamstress abilities
for evil. You kind of remind me of a rat. You know, you kind of look better as a rat.
So we start out in Russia with the Moskoviches,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they have to come over because they're place gets ransacked, as does the city of the people. I forgot right. about the people. Like,
yeah, right.
watching this time around, I forgot that there were actual, like, human people,
mm-hmm.
which kind of now makes me not like it as much, because my big problem with Rango was, like, who makes their animal clothes? You know, like, if they're real people, why are these animals dressed up? Like, hey, you back off. I have never seen an iguana wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt in my life, and you haven't either.
Come on. Sure I have.
You have not seen, like, a fucking snake walking around in, like, Western gear. That's first true. Off, you'd be like, you're way behind in the times. And second off, you're like, how did you get clothes?
Yeah.
I think the first part would be, it's so out of date. Yeah. Like, I think that'd be the first thing.
That's true.
If we're being honest.
That's true.
But, like, so watching this again, I was like, oh, this takes place in a world that has people.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But I do like it because it's, you can see that the people are going through
immigration. I love it when he couldn't pronounce the last name. It's like, all right, you're Smith now to the person.
I mean, in all honesty, like, structurally for me, it feels like Home Alone. Like, it feels like a Home Alone 2 scenario. I really missed
the Fievel with the aftershave scene. I wish that would have.
He's like, the best scene to me, though, is when they're talking about all the ways that the cats have murdered their family.
Yeah.
Which I thought was
in the
a
songs
pretty good,
and
yeah,
stuff like
exactly,
that.
Which I thought was a pretty good scene.
Did you notice
how ignorant are these fucking mice being like, but
they're hoping
there are no cats in
they're
America.
Hoping. In that one of the versions, there was a mouse that was saying, like, a cat ate his wife except for a tail.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice he didn't have a tail?
No, I didn't.
So he, like,
notice.
Lost his, I guess, from a cat.
Oh, maybe he cut his off in, like, protest.
But I think, obviously, that's a whole, like, metaphor for saying, oh, we're persecuted here. When we go here, like,
we're not going to be
it's
persecuted.
So,
anymore.
Yeah, America is the place where everyone is accepted.
Right.
You know,
and they're not.
Not at all.
They are.
And they're,
not.
And just like back in the day and still now, like, immigrants were exploited by people. I mean, that's
the cool part about, I think that's the thing that I like about this is kind of like some of that history with using mice, you know, as a means.
And cats are way more more appropriate to teach to have as the antagonist for this, as opposed to, you know, anti-Semites like
the Gestapo,
which is the Gestapo exactly.
Although, why were the cats like dogs? Because I didn't hear one of them meow. I didn't hear one of them meow. They all barked. Every single one of those cats.
I don't remember that at all,
dude. Every time a cat came on screen, it was like.
Because they're kind of chomping down. You're hearing it from the perspective of a cat.
They growl like a dog. They would bark like dogs the whole time. But I guess it doesn't make it that scary if the cats went up to the mice and they're just like, you know, I've seen my cat play with the rat before, and it's actually kind of seductive.
Is it?
It's like, yeah, that's it's a whole different movie.
I won't eat you. We're best.
Dude, my cat doesn't even go like, so gentle.
Really?
Yeah, dude. My cat will bring in and out. Like, we let her in and out, so we let her hunt these things down. Ironically, my cat was hunting a rat while I was watching this movie and ended up bringing it into the house.
Alive?
Alive. So she brings it into the house, she lets it go, and then she chases it around the house, and then she catches it again. And then she lets it go, and she chases it around the house, and then she catches it. Listen, PETA, don't fucking give me shit about this.
Your pet had a pet.
Basically. And then all it does is just catches it. And then it just snaps its neck, and then it eats it. And I didn't even know that the rat was dead yet.
Wow.
That's how ninja these things
Seriously.
Are. I didn't hear no growling. I didn't hear no barking. My dog goes up to it and looks at it, and he's like, you're so gross. My cat looks at my dog and is just like, you lick your ass, you know? So it's just kind of ironic that was happening as
that
I was
is.
Watching
that's
that
very.
Movie,
he was inspired. You know, movies inspire people sometimes.
This movie inspired the
cat.
So
it's just like, wow, this whole movie is full of bad guys.
Some of the things that I was just like, really? Was you have this boat that's just going super crazy, right? And I get it. You know, this is how they came over. And
plus
all that
from
type
a
of
mouse's
stuff.
Point of view, it's going to be pretty crazy, whereas a person isn't going to notice too much.
Right. To which end, though, You have the dad that, do they just not like watching their kids very well? I mean, they got young kids. They just kind of let them do their thing.
Stuff to do, man.
Like what? Play the violin?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? He can't like watch his kids while he's playing violin. You need two hands to play violin.
I'm just saying, I understand having a curious little kid. I don't have kids, but I can understand it, right? He lets him go, and then he gets sucked out of the window or out of the big door or whatever, and that's all he does. He doesn't go after him even further than that. He's just like, oh, I guess that one's gone.
He was way up there, Jonesy.
Is he that chunky? Like, if that was my kid, I would have ran up there and tried to go see maybe if I can save it. He was just like, Fievel just goes thump out of the damn door, and then he's just like,
well, what are you going to do? I guess he's gone forever.
Okay. He's like, Fievel, no. You know what I mean? And then that was it. And then he goes back and he's just like, he's gone. And everybody's like, oh. But there's like a silent, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
You know how, you know, they were really poor. They didn't have a lot of food, things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, real talk here. Dad probably hid food around the house, right?
Like, you can't be that chunky and huge. Not have enough food.
Seriously.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, where the crumbs pop. Where are the crumbs? What? No crumbs? Like, no.
Yeah,
no.
Like the skipper on Gilligan's Island, he was always a large fella.
They
like,
should have been dying of malnutrition.
Seriously. He was not skinny. He was properly fed.
I wonder why they made that choice, though, to make the dad a little huskier.
My theory is they were kind of, it was a nodding of their hat to Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, because it definitely was very much.
But he made an interesting, the dad made an interesting statement by, like, when he got to America. What I really like is, you know, people think, you know, these people came to America, they gave him such a big chance and, you know, mm-hmm. they were able to make it. It's very rough making here because it was, you had to make your own way. It wasn't mm-hmm. given to you, obviously. They were saying something like, we came to America because it was going to be easier, we thought. And we, at least while we were in Russia, we could eat.
Yeah.
Here we can't eat.
Yeah.
So my assumption was that he's chunkier because they can eat. They just needed to get away from kind of the tyranny,
persecution
uh-huh. exactly that was happening
of the Gestapo cats.
Yeah, exactly. Which again, it's just so ignorant that they're like, but there's no cats in America.
I just think there's no
cats in America.
That's the thing, same thing as like, go there, you can like do anything. You can right. go to America. The American dream is you go there and become successful.
Right.
I mean, I just assume that's probably what they were trying to go for versus like, there's no Gestapo in America. Right. Instead it's like,
well, and then they get there and then they're, you know, and then they,
oh, snap, cats.
Well, there's that, obviously. But then they're also kind of getting funneled into, like, sweatshops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's basically where Cinderella got her mice, is what I was thinking.
They were descendants of the Mouskovitches.
Are those mouses descendants of hers? Because she was...
good question.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. But they all look the same to me.
They do. They do.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like Gus would reproduce. I feel like he probably
he did it.
Yeah, you know? He's probably the equivalent of the 40-year-old virgin.
You mean to tell me that Papa was is Gus Gus?
No, I don't think so. No. I don't think the family tree went extended any farther after Gus Gus.
Gus Gus. Oh, poor guy. He was trying to have sex with a bird.
Goose, goose.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I thought the original music was really good.
Yeah, I fucking hate their theme song, though. Not the you know, the Somewhere Out There uh-huh. song. I don't like it.
Okay, growing up, I loved
sang that song with
song.
You and your mom.
I learned that song
night.
On piano
uh-huh.
when I played piano. I love that song. Hearing the kid mice sing it, I was like, I want to stab my eardrums. It yeah. was miserable. I like it during the credits when they, I thought, that's beautiful.
Yeah, the orchestrational version of it, great. The whimsiness of it, wonderful. As soon as they start singing
but with
it,
those, the little kids,
shut
it was like,
up.
Ugh, it was terrible. I mean, granted, it is, once again, it's a great song in the soundtrack or in the end credits, they have like the radio version of it
uh-huh.
and it's great, but it's like, man, they butcher it during the movie.
Right.
It was, ugh. That little Fievel cannot hit high notes to save his life, and he's tiny.
Right.
It was terrible.
They so I watched An American Tale, and then I had to watch
Fievel Goes West. Yeah, as did I.
So did you catch him? Fievel Goes West. She starts singing the song again, and they're like, "Shut
up!"
That
was so great.
Chucking shit at her. I thought that shit was hilarious. Yeah, because it was a good call. Because I was listening to it in the first one and just being like, "Oh God, Jesus!" And then the second one, they call it out. Mm-hmm. So I think they knew too. You know?
Yeah, I think they had fun with that because it's like, well, that's our signature,
right?
Like that's what we're known for is this song. So we got to reference it somehow. And once, so also, if you're lost in New York, it's hard enough for a human if they don't know where the rest of their human family is. It's hard enough to find that, let alone like a teeny tiny
mouse.
That's
what I'm saying. Does not everybody
found his
know,
way.
You know?
When he found like a friggin' bird that was like a French bird that's like, I know where they are.
I have that's the asshole part. It's like I have a general idea where they could be.
Yeah,
you know, and I can
called
take
the fucking
there.
City.
Yeah, and he's just like, wow. Yeah.
Where's your family, son? He's in New York. Oh, super specific. Thank you.
And Fievel's like, fuck if I know.
Like I am tiny.
I don't know.
And then Fievel goes west. He's like. How did he know? How did he even survive when he got lost to go? Because that's a long ass way.
A long
like,
way.
Like, you as a human could not walk that desert and survive to that wherever that city was. Mm-hmm. And a mouse?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Dom DeLuise?
You know what? To be honest with you, I think he's the best part of the entire film.
I would agree.
The entire movie.
It could have been terrible because it so doesn't match the rest of the movie how he is. But
sure,
but it works
needed
great.
It, though.
Oh, absolutely.
It really did need it because if you don't have a character, what was the cat's name again?
I don't remember. I'll look it up while you're talking.
Damn it. So
it was called Dom DeLuise, stupid. Dom Felonese. I'm sorry. I should not have done that.
The cat does a really, really good job with bringing comedy and levity.
Tiger,
that's it. How did I forget that? Because he looks like a lion. That's what I kept wanting to say. Because he's the cowardly lion from Wizard of Oz is basically what he is.
Yeah.
But he did bring a lot of levity to something that's very dreary.
It's super bleak.
You know?
History, the American history is bleak.
I know.
The story is super bleak.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a fun character through most of it. I agree. But then again, you know, I've really struggled after like the midpoint of this movie to just kind of finish through it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I'm just like,
so where do you think the disconnect was?
For me, you know, if I'm being honest,
as you should always be, never lie to me, Jonesy.
I think it's because I watched it so much as a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I watched it so much that when I had to watch it as an adult, I was just like, I don't want to watch this movie again. You know what I mean? I just want it to be over. And it's a long movie.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's like an hour, almost 2 hours long. Uh-huh. So at some point, I was just like, I just want this to be over. Please just
but didn't you
over.
Want the family to reunite?
I kind of did, and I kind of didn't care. I kind of wanted Fievel to just say, fuck you to his family, because I never wanted to find him anyway, and just start a new life with Tiger.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. Hey. And murder all the cats.
And murder all the cats. Which, by the way, the resolution wasn't really such a short-term resolution.
Super
the
fast.
The minute that those cats... Well, okay, so it was like super elaborate how they defeated the cats.
Uh-huh.
Like super elaborate.
Bring the secret weapon!
A lot of the Trojan cat, basically.
Yeah, basically.
But like with fireworks, a lot of that took time to set up, resources, all this shit. That didn't really defeat the cats. It just got them wet. Mm-hmm. But pretty soon the cats will be dry again and pissed. So if anything, you're all doomed more.
like
this does not solve your problem at all.
Because
if they're cats, they're like, it's probably going to take these mice a really long time to come up with something that we know what it is, so we're not scared of it anymore.
Right.
So they're screwed.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the cat. I hate that in movies though, where at
it's
the
just
end
like
you're
a
like
quick, easy fix, but not
yeah,
like
but
for
you're
the
like, but that doesn't resolve the problem at all.
Yeah, but wasn't it that they were supposed to like get thrown into the boat and the boat was shipping off, so they were...
Oh, that's right. They
so
did.
They were going to go away.
Yeah, that's right. They did go to like China or something.
Something like that, yeah. So I mean,
so I guess it did kind of resolve it.
Yeah, I mean...
Bit. And luckily Tiger didn't leave with them.
Right. Well, Tiger's basically a dog.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. He's like your cat, where it's like, cool.
Yeah.
Not an asshole.
My cat's an asshole. Just depends on who it's
depends.
Hanging
yeah.
out with.
Well, I guess the cat likes me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's probably a cool cat, because I'm not a huge fan of cats, so I usually ignore them, and I think your cat respected that, the fact that I would never come over to say hi, and so...
She's like, hey, fuck you, bro. You're stepping into my digs, man.
Yeah. She got... She's like, I see how you don't give a shit about me. I respect that.
Yeah.
Like, we're friends now.
Because
I too don't give a shit about
yeah,
you.
You
therefore,
give a shit about me.
I like you.
Together, we're friends.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't. I mean, the cats too in this whole movie were the ones that were wrapped around this just Gestapo style cat stuff. I was like, those ones are frightening, but the ones that they were running away from, not as frightening.
Yeah.
I'm like, where are those creepy motherfuckers yeah. coming from? You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys just seem like idiots.
Yeah, the organized ones are just kind of bullies.
Basically.
Versus, like, the lone serial killer cats.
Yeah, yeah, the sociopath
cats. Sociopath cats, which are just doing what cats do.
Yeah, exactly. But all in all, fun. But
I bought it because it was $5 for both movies at DVD at Best Buy.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm like, I'm going to buy it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I gotta take you to Second Spin.
Yeah, you do.
You'll stop going to Best Buy. Second Spin's dope.
Well, I'm looking forward to checking that out. I am intrigued.
it's like the old warehouse. You know the old movie warehouse spot.
Mm-hmm.
They used to sell like DVDs and music and records and all that stuff.
We're gonna go.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Awesome.
Anyway, but. I mean, that's all I got about this movie, really.
Yeah, that's really...
I mean,
that's
the,
really
the end of the movie, cool. Yeah, they got with the family. We knew that was going to happen the whole way through. I don't know. We've seen better cartoons, I think,
yeah.
in my opinion.
But I do still appreciate that old style of cartoon making,
sure.
I guess. Like that.
It reminds me of like old All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yes,
you know,
and I love...
Genre.
There's just... I will always... And that's nostalgia,
yeah.
you know, where it's like I'll always love that style of animation.
Yeah. I'm just.
That was before they went super cheap and, you know, import or like exported all of the animation work to something that's.
Well,
a
that's
lot
what
cheaper.
Happened in 50 Goes West. Like, they did a handful of like 3D shots in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super cheapy 3D shots.
Yeah.
And I was like, which is probably wicked expensive.
Probably.
Back then, you know. But, yeah, the animation style is great. It's
mm-hmm.
such a and they're going back to like the old school, you know, hand drawn
yeah.
cell framing.
Well, back then it was just
style.
School. It wasn't really
it
old
was
school.
Old school.
It's just
like,
school.
This was standard. yeah, animation was great. But again, Tiger is the best thing out of that entire movie.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So
I would agree. Awesome. Well, everybody let us know what you think of this movie.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm sure a bunch of our listeners have probably seen this and grew up with it.
Uh-huh. They're so probably just like, you guys are stupid.
Definitely challenge you to watch it over again, to look at it through
yeah.
adult eyes.
You kind of have to.
Yeah. But I think I would recommend
because
this.
Because as an adult, there's just like stupid decisions that they're making.
Yeah.
That's the thing that bugged me.
I would recommend this if someone had kids. I'd recommend this for their kids.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it's a good child.
You think so? It's a pretty dark for children.
It's dark,
cartoon.
But if you remember, we as kids didn't really get the cultural significance and historical significance
that's
of
true.
What they were implying. We're just like, I hope he finds his parents.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and it's
that's
just
it
was a fun
because
it is. It's a fun journey, like with a freaking singing French bird, which I still don't
never
fully understand.
Oh, again,
if I leave here, I'll never finish the statue.
I'm like, that damn
you
thing.
Said never.
Oh, I did. I'm like, that pigeon is finishing that thing.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think you're really doing what you think you're doing.
Pigeon. I do like that Statue of Liberty was gold.
Yeah.
Or
cause
it was
that's,
bronze.
Right. Because that's what it was when I came over here.
Was it bronze? No, copper.
Copper.
That's it. It was
yeah.
copper. That's why it's all green now.
And then
the air. Oxidized.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yep.
Is that the term? That's, yep. I thought that was kind of fun that they did.
Have you ever
way.
Been? Have you been all up inside of her?
I've never been to New York.
Really?
All my travels, I've never been to New
wow,
York.
Wow. Yeah, yet. You travel a lot.
Yeah. So I haven't been there. We're gonna go. We'll probably go soon. A buddy of mine just moved there, and he's a good buddy. So
I recommend.
I just it's so expensive.
Yeah,
that's the only.
That's why I haven't been back since 2000. I was there in 2000.
17 years ago.
Yeah, long ass time ago. But
did you like New York?
I did. I do. I really do like it. A lot actually. But it is really expensive.
I want to hit the East Coast mainly because of the history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, you know, Philadelphia.
Oh, I love Philadelphia.
Those, you know what I mean? I want to eat and learn. That's literally all I want to do over there. And catch a sporting event. Because I hear it's way, way crazy. Oh,
totally different. You know, like, New I'd England.
I'd go to a Steelers game in a heartbeat.
You know? Yeah, but I tell you, like, the East Coast has better pastries.
Do they, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, something about the water east of the Mississippi is just better for, like, baking. So the donuts, the donuts, the pizza, the, like, bread, everything is better. It's I don't even know how to describe it, but it's just better. Yeah. And if you go to Philadelphia, I will let you know places to go. All food is amazing. I can't go there now and eat that food. But, like, when I used to be, like, 60 pounds heavier, that was my shit. Like, literally, one time I ordered, this is just outside of Philadelphia, I ordered nachos. And I shit you not, the one order of nachos came in one of those big, clear salad bowls.
Nice.
I had enough for, like, two more meals. And this was Fat Noah. So, like, I could put down some nachos back in my day, and I still had three meals worth.
Wow.
Yeah, man. But the food's amazing.
That would have never have lasted 10 minutes with me.
You say that now, but I bet back in the day I could beat you in nachos.
There's this place in Long Beach that my buddies and I go to called, I don't even remember what it's called. It's like this little hole-in-the-wall burger joint, but they got this thing called the DUI.
What's that?
So it's a half a pound of fries.
Okay.
On top of cheese, chili. Cheese, carne asada, so chopped steak, pastrami.
Why is it called a DUI?
Because
it seems like that would soak up all the beer.
I think what it is, that is what happens when you eat this and drive, is you're going to get a DUI. Because by the time after you're done with it, it's so delusional. Am I going to have a heart attack right now?
Are these meat sweats or cheese sweats?
I think they're both. I feel like a Cheese Whiz can. It's coming out of my pores. You know? But yeah, it was pretty hefty. I couldn't even finish that. I talk a mean game, but I really don't eat as much as I think that most people think I do. They think they see a big guy and they're like, oh, that motherfucker can eat. I'm like, the people that can eat are the skinny ones.
Yep.
Skinny ones are the ones that I've seen that put it away.
Oh, hello. Have you ever seen hot dog eating contests?
Dude, the guy that holds the
skinniest
championship.
Fucking Asian guys are the ones that always win that shit. And you're like, where does it go? Do you have like a tube? Do you have like an enema? Like,
right. I'm curious because they don't even chew the hot dogs. They just kind of swallow
them. They dip them in water and basically swallow
them, right? Like, does it come out whole on the other side?
I'm so fascinated by the digestive, just what happens in that
situation.
Well,
what's even crazier, I know we're getting way off topic, but what's even crazier is that they don't even train with hot dogs. Like, this guy trains with ramen.
What?
Yeah, he eats bowls and bowls and bowls of ramen because the water and the ramen expand in his stomach. Isn't that crazy?
There's nothing about this, that endeavor that makes sense to me logically.
It's ridiculous.
None of it makes sense.
This dude's having, like, not just a bowl, like a bucket of ramen. He had, like, seven bowls of just...
I don't understand.
Ramen.
I don't understand how that ends for him, so to speak. Does it come out the same?
I guess. I don't know.
It's like giving birth to worms. Like,
I don't know.
What? I don't understand.
I don't know. I could do it. I love it. I could do it. But yeah, so. Well, I got nothing else about this damn movie. I want to move on to the next goddamn movie, personally. All right,
let's do it.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, first off. What's making you hard?
What's making me hard? There's a really interesting show on Netflix right now. It's kind of a spinoff off of a Rashida Jones produced documentary called Hot Girls Wanted. Mm. And there's a spinoff of that documentary called Turned On.
Okay.
And it's only a 6-episode season, but it goes into some of the kind of like pornography things going down right now with our society, people doing online dating, just sexuality in our time, right, with between people our ages. Mm-hmm. And I fucking loved it. It was 6 episodes. And to be honest with you, the main theme for me for this whole thing was just the basically the objectification of women throughout the entire series. And to me, it was a really great illustration on the perpetuation of all that and how it's being perpetuated in our society and how people kind of tend to look the other way. But yet it is so very much at the forefront of how we deal with things in our society. Again, it's only 6 episodes, and to me and my wife watched it, and we were just like, it sparked conversation, like a nice 2-hour conversation about where what we thought. Luckily, my wife and I see a lot of things pretty eye to eye, which I'm grateful for. But it was a really great series that I highly recommend people watching, called Getting or Turned On.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Are they hour long episodes? Uh-huh. Half hour? Okay.
Yeah, about an hour. Like, gotcha. 48, some of them are like 48 minutes, some of them are a little bit longer, but roughly around an hour.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, for me, we're going back to professional wrestling. So there is...
Oh, God.
We're going back. So there is a book I read like years ago, but it came out with a new edition, so I picked it up. It's called The Death of WCW.
Uh-huh.
And I'm fascinated by that industry, like the business side of it, uh-huh. You know, just kind of the inner workings. And that's what, I mean, I love the finished product. I love watching the actual events, but I'm just fascinated how all that, the history and all that shit. And uh-huh. This book basically kind of goes through from, you know, right before Ted Turner bought him and made him a national enterprise that kind of got really big with Hulk Hogan and the NWO and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And just really plots out all the different inner workings and the different factions. And
that's cool.
It's a really fascinating book. And the 10th anniversary edition has extra stuff in there. And
what's the name
quotes.
Of the book again?
The Death of WCW.
Nice.
But it's a fascinating read and really well done. And I mean, obviously, you know, different people have their different opinions based on, like, the wrestlers have a different opinion on what shit went down.
Sure, sure, sure.
All that stuff. But it's really, and it kind of wants to blame certain people where, I mean, my whole feeling is, I mean, they were already, like, losing money every year. They were not turning a profit for a while. That's why Jim Crockett sold to Ted Turner for like $9 million or something tiny something that big. And something,
I was about to say that's not tiny, but and for what it is,
yeah.
Yeah.
And
is.
The fact that they were losing money every year. And so it kind of, so for me, it was almost like maybe structurally it just wasn't that sound to begin with. So sure. Just because it got really popular with the NWO and the Monday Night Wars. Doesn't necessarily, if something's broke from the beginning and gets big, doesn't necessarily course correct itself.
Right.
You know, so I think a lot of it was maybe doomed from the beginning and maybe it's kind of like with other things where if it does well for a certain amount of time, you figure like, oh, it's all better as opposed to like, no, you're just really fortunate right now that the stars aligned.
Uh-huh.
But eventually, that, you
it's
know,
a leaky boat right now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so but it's a really interesting book.
I'll share one more thing with you because this is like the second week that you've been talking about
wrestling,
like pro wrestling. Uh-huh. There's a really interesting documentary called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake.
Oh, I've seen it.
Did you?
I thought it was pretty good.
I
liked it until the very end where I felt like it was just, it turned into a straight up commercial for DDP's yoga.
That is true.
But I really liked it.
But the core and the heart of it all was actually pretty interesting.
And if you actually watch, there's a documentary called Beyond the Mat.
Uh-huh.
It was, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. But basically, half of that is Jake the Snake's story of him being like the shit, the biggest thing ever, and then losing everything.
Oh,
to the point where a couple years later, when the Wrestler movie came out, I was like, okay, they just stole Jake the Snake's story. Because it is. It's his friggin' story.
That's crazy.
When you watch, you're like, okay.
I've never seen Beyond the Mat, but I'll watch that next.
Because
I just got done watching Jake the Snake. The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. But if you guys like, you know, podcast listeners, if you guys like WWF and kind of like the heyday of that stuff, I mean, it's a really interesting documentary.
Yeah, it's really interesting
it.
To
it's
see
really
this.
Heartbreaking.
It is.
To be honest with
it
me.
Is.
Super heartbreaking.
But honestly,
but I never put two and two together because The Wrestler is one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
And now looking at it,
a strange
it's almost,
kid.
It's almost beat for beat.
Yep.
The fucking.
Yep.
the wrestler. Story. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's crazy. Well,
awesome.
Cool.
Well, so that's it. So next week we have another movie.
Okay. Please better be good.
What? You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
You talking to me? I don't see anybody else around. You must be talking to me.
Do I amuse you?
Am I like a fucking clown over here?
Kind of.
Good, because next week it's The Goodfellas.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I love The Goodfellas, man. And I love Joe Pesci.
And I do too.
And Martin Scorsese.
And they're coming back for a Netflix movie together.
Are they really?
Yes.
Good for them.
It's a super expensive movie that Netflix agreed to do, but they're all in it. All
right.
So, I think it's De Niro, Pacino, and Pesci.
And Pesci. Pesci hasn't done shit for a while.
He hasn't done a lot. Yeah.
He's like, I don't got to. I got my...
Yeah, he's got a ton of money.
Uh-huh.
He has that. He's living off that Lethal Weapon money.
Wasn't Joe Pesci? What was his? He won the Oscar, and then he goes up there, and he just goes, "Thanks," and then just leaves, and he just gets off the fucking podium.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
I love it.
He's not a flashy man. He does what he's supposed to do, and he's good.
Yeah, I wish I had that in me. I know. You know what I mean? I wish I could just be like, "It's about fucking time," and then get off the goddamn stage. Yeah. You know what I mean? That'd be dope. Yeah. But it's...
Yeah, but you kind of...
I mean, like, I think if I won an Oscar, I would cry. Like, I would get up there and be like, happy. And then I couldn't say anything else after that. That's all that would happen.
Yeah, I think I'd probably be too overwhelmed.
You know what
I'm
saying?
And then be like, I'm glad I wrote a piece of paper the people I'm obligated to thank.
It'd just be... I'd be like, look, if I win, I'm just going to have a piece of paper, and it's just going to be a bunch of gibberish. So can you guys put subtitles down at the bottom for me?
Yeah.
You know? That's how I'd probably do it. But he just walked up there and said, thanks.
What did he get the Oscar
for? I think he got
it Raging Bull?
Could have been Raging Bull. I want to say it was Goodfellas, though.
Oh, really?
I think it was Best Supporting Actor for Goodfellas.
That's awesome.
Or Casino, one of the two.
Ooh,
yeah, it's one of the two. But nonetheless, I think it's going to be good.
That's what we're doing next week.
Sweet. All right, man. Well.
So until next time.
We did it.
All right, thanks. Love you guys.
We out.